we can, this may be difficult days, but God never promised it was going to be easy. You know, when David and the mighty men in the Bible went to war, those were real battles. And yes, they came out of it victorious, but they came out of it bloodied and bruised and worn out. These are maybe real battles on our hands, but we can do this because the God of the universe is ours. He loves us, and he's there to cover us. And as we listen and follow our inquiry of what do you want me to do, Father God, and he tells us, mm-hmm. when we walk down our staircase out into our individual lives, that is going to be us operating as light in a season of darkness. And as it gets darker, and I don't know where it'll go, but I know that I don't lose sleep over it. I know that the God who loves me is going to deliver us. He's going to deliver this great nation. He cares about the French and the Greeks. He cares about us. He's going to do this thing. But we can wrestle with mammon or poverty. We can wrestle with these, or we can navigate past those things and navigate into a spirit of adoption.
All right. I agree with that, and I think that's where we ought to be heading. But if we have found ourselves in the grip of this Babylonish spirit of mammon, one thing manifested by the very thing that has our nation in a grip, and that is debt beyond all measure. And the average debt of most Americans, just in credit cards alone, is somewhere in the range of $30,000. That being the case, if we're in bondage, and you have said in your book that debt is a bondage, what do we do? It seems that there are some simple answers to that.
Yes, there is. We set to the task. This is us. The phrase in the Word of God is bound in spirit. It comes from Acts, where Paul is bound in spirit to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he is bound to a task. And right now, we're talking about debt. If we are in debt, the thing that we bind ourselves, committing ourselves to in Jesus' name, is to get out of debt, to learn to live within our means, to actually pick up, and this is where dominion and all of these things begin to tie together. Mm-hmm. We begin to own our responsibility. Let's live within our means. If we have to tighten things up, we tighten things up. If we have to get another job, we get another job. If we have to create and invent ways to make income, we ask the Lord for that grace and we go and do it. But the thing is, we set our face like flint toward these things.
Well, I appreciate so much your exhortation and encouragement. Much of what you've said to us here today is in the form of exhortation, encouraging believers to embrace the fullness of God's call to live as prosperous souls before Him. But it means we have to submit to His Word, His will, and His ways in every aspect of our lives. And I appreciate so much, Steve, what you've done. I think the book is a tremendous encouragement for us in this very challenging and crisis moment in American and world history. Again, friends, your gift of $13 or more to Save America Ministries will put money in the prosperous soul in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us as daily we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Remember, the just shall live by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Greater Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ron Brown, who sells gold and silver, and he does help Radio Liberty, but we always love having Ron with us. Hi, Ron. How are we doing tonight? Oh, let's see. There we are. Hi, Ron. How are we doing?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I sure can sure hear you. Well, I just didn't push the right button. There's so many buttons here to push. Anyway, it's good to have you with us. So let's get your idea, your thoughts on what's going on in the world.
Well, you know, I guess to start with would be the latest quantitative easing that Bernanke came out with, what, a month or two ago?
Right.
And his purported or stated reason for doing it was to stabilize interest rates. But what they're really doing is running the printing press to buy the unwanted bonds that the rest of the world isn't buying. So instead of interest rates stabilizing, right after he did that, interest rates started to spike. At one point, the interest rate on the 30-year bond was up 25% from right before he made that statement. So it looks like what you and I have been talking about for years in the bond market is starting to come around. To me, what really happened is the rest of the world looked at Mr. Bernanke and said, look, we see through your scam. You're going to try to run the printing press to buy up the unwanted bonds to stabilize interest rates. But what you're really telling us is you're going to pay us back with worthless dollars.
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting. I've been trying to figure out when Bernanke says he's going to buy bonds, does he mean he's going to buy new bonds, the Treasury bonds the Treasury Department is issuing, or is he going to infuse money into the banking system? Because, of course, basically people don't understand how the system works, but it's like this, and I know you know this, Ron, but for the listeners, when the Federal Reserve System wants to stimulate the economy, what they do is they buy bonds, and they buy them from the banks. Now, the banks have to hold a certain amount of Treasury bonds by regulation, but certainly what Federal Reserve System does, they buy the bonds from the bank, and they give the bank money, so the bank then will have the money to lend and to stimulate the economy. That's how you stimulate the economy. When you want to slow the economy down, why the Federal Reserve sells bonds to the banks, and then the banks, of course, give the Federal Reserve money in return for the bonds, and then you take money out of circulation. So basically this is a vehicle of putting money in circulation, whether it's printed money or simply they just create banking interest. It doesn't matter. It all can be spent the same way, but they were talking about an additional $600 billion into the monetary system here, and that's, I'm sure, why certainly the banks throughout the world and international investors are saying, you're destroying the value of the American currency. You're infusing another $600 billion on top of all the money that's already out there, and this is not going to stimulate the economy. This is going to bail the banks out. What you're doing is helping the banks, but they're not going to invest in the economy. They're not going to make loans readily available, and that's why I'm sure that they simply are not going to buy the bonds unless the Treasury bonds, unless the interest rate goes up, because they're having a great deal of increased risk. I'm sure they're also buying insurance on those bonds. That's the derivative market. And, of course, if the bonds default, why, then the whole house of cards will come down, because there's probably three-quarters of $1 trillion in derivatives out there that nobody even likes to talk about.
Well, I hear the figure 1.4. quadrillion.
may very well be. I mean,
once you get past 500 trillion or even 100 trillion, does it really matter?
A quadrillion here, a quadrillion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Well, you know, I think it's a combination, Dr. Stan, of the rest of the world is backing off of buying our bonds, so they're even selling bonds, they're net sellers of bonds, so they're not buying our bonds, and that puts pressures on the banks who are the bond dealers who have to try to take up the slack, but they can't take
hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Ron Brown. And Ron, you go right ahead. You're just saying that the banks and the bond dealers certainly aren't buying American bonds, or at least they want a lot more of money for them. They want a higher interest rate because they feel that there's a tremendous risk and they're going to get paid back with worthless dollars. Would that be a fair estimate?
Sure. And of course, as we keep running the printing press and going further and further into debt, then the credibility of our debt becomes less and less. So, you know, for the last 5-10 years, we've seen the world, you and I have discussed this a jillion times, how the world is trying to phase out of their dollars, trying to dump their dollars without collapsing the system. And, you know, every time, every month or every week, you see some announcement of some country, you know, abandoning the dollar from pricing their oil. Or, you know, the most recent one, of course, was Russia and China cutting a deal to conduct all their trade and cut the dollar out of the equation. So as more and more countries stop storing their reserves in dollars, then we are being rejected as the world's reserve currency. And it is that very status that allowed us to spend way beyond our means for, what, 50, 60 years. So what's the saying? The borrower becomes a slave to the lender. And let's face it, our creditors are now cutting us off, which is forcing us to monetize more and more debt. You know, witness the $600 billion quantitative easing, which is really to buy up the unwanted debt. So we're just so far in debt that it's getting harder and harder to finance this folly. And when we start running the printing press to try to offset it, all we do then is weaken the dollar even more. So in my little terms, my little Black Sambo example, the tiger is chasing his tail. And at this point, all you can see is a blur. It's just starting to go so fast that I think we're approaching a meltdown. So I think things could start happening very, very quickly, you know, starting between now and first of the year.
Well, you mean the first of the year, though? That first of the year is only 2 weeks away now.
I understand. I just think we're on the verge of a you know, I was doing a lot of reading before we came on the air, and it just gets so depressing when you – when you look at what's happening in the municipal bond market, you look at what's happening in the real estate mortgages with the defaults, and then you look at all the government accounting to try to cover up what's really going on. You know, they say we're having slow growth, but if you really account for inflation, then we're really in negative growth. We're selling less units. So everywhere you turn, it just looks like we're approaching critical mass. And you can really see
hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown, and of course we're just talking about what's going on financially, and there's a conscious effort to confuse us. I saw a headline just a couple of days ago, and it said exports booming, and that was the big headline, and then you read about what they're talking about. Yes, sirree, United States exports were up 3%, and considering then that we're importing less, why, of course, our trade deficit for this was last month. Our trade deficit was only $38.5 billion. $38.5 trillion. That's pretty close to $40 billion. And of course, if we put that out over a year, they tell us this is a lot better than it has been. We're talking, let's see, 40 billion times 12, that's $480 billion. That's almost $500 trillion of a trade deficit. And they tell us this is really great. Ladies and gentlemen, they put these articles in the newspaper to confuse you. And when you, if you honestly believe that exports are booming with a 3% increase on 1 month, why? And of course, it had been a 2% decline the previous month, but here was a 3% increase this month, and they try to make you think that things are really getting better. Well, the truth of the matter is, as Ron's pointing out, is that the interest rate on bonds is going up. Now, remember, our country lives on debt, not on production. We've shifted all of our production overseas, our steel production, our automotive production, our textile industry. I mean, try to buy a shirt made here in the United States. Our electronic production, try to buy an iPod or a television set made in the United States. We've shipped our industries overseas. Our smokestack industries intentionally and purposely, we're doing everything we can to run up the price of electricity. They will not allow us to have nuclear energy, cheap nuclear energy. We're tearing out the dams so that we can run up the price of electricity. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. But now, of course, if you begin to look at what's happening to the interest rate on bonds, And they're beginning to go up, the interest rate on treasury bonds, the interest rate on state bonds, the interest rate on municipal bonds. And, of course, what this is happening basically is people are saying, we think there's going to be a lot of defaults, and we're not going to buy these bonds because we may never get our money back, or we may only get part of it back, and you're going to have to give us a lot more interest before we are going to invest in your bonds, or we're not going to invest them at all. In fact, some of the major bond offerings that have been going out there, they really haven't been bought up, have they, Ron?
No, I think the government's having to buy them up. I think that's what's going on. You know, as we've discussed many times in the bond market, when the U.S. Treasury or the corporations or the municipalities or whoever have to borrow money, if there's no one there to buy those bonds, like you just said, it will force interest rates up until someone will step forward and buy them. But we cannot allow interest rates to rise. So to create the illusion that there's a demand for those bonds, the Federal Reserve comes in and buys up those bonds to stabilize interest rates. But see, all that does is further weaken the dollar. And we've been doing that for the last 20, 30 years. Most of the policy coming out of Washington is to create the illusion that there's no inflation. And, of course, we've all been dumbed down. This is the one thing I think everyone needs to really get a hold of, is that inflation is not rising prices. Inflation is the increase in the money supply and credit. But if you can convince the masses that inflation is higher prices, then all you have to do is, I think one of the reasons we started doing all of our trade with China is so we could use slave labor to send products back over here at a cheaper price, and then they could brag there was no inflation. The reality is that the money supply and the debt has been increasing dramatically over the last 20 through 30 years. In other words, massive monetary inflation, but the average soul out there doesn't think there's any inflation because they keep bragging about prices.
Well, basically what we've done is we've exported our inflation. In other words, we've created all this money and we've shipped it overseas. And where did the money come to build the magnificent cities over there and China and the roads and the infrastructure? It was American money. Where did this money come from to build up the economy of India? Why, it came from America, primarily from America, some of it from Europe. Same thing is true with Brazil. They had a 60-minute program last Sunday with Mr. Lula, who is the outgoing president of Brazil. And he was saying, we were a capitalist country. We didn't have any capital, though, and so basically we couldn't develop it. And now, of course, the capital has all come in here, and now we have all these high-rise skyscrapers. We have industry thriving. We've producing 80% of our electricity is from dams, from hydroelectric here. And, of course, the economy in Brazil is really booming. Where did the money come from? Where did the capital come from? Came from the United States. And, of course, basically what we are doing is shifting our industrial production to other countries. Brazil is the third largest manufacturer of aircraft in the world and competing very effectively with our industries. And basically we're shifting production to Brazil, to Russia, to India and China, the so-called BRIC nations. That is the plan. Goldman Sachs came out recently and said, in the next century, and that's talking the century we're in now, why, of course, major production is going to shift, not away from the United States, to these other countries, and that's part of the plan. It is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. And their living standards are going up, and our living standards are actually beginning to drop here in the United States. And if you got a job, you probably haven't noticed it, but certainly the people who don't have a job are really noticing it. And the unemployment figures are so much higher than they're really telling us the truth. It's the old adage is, figures don't lie, but liars figure, and they get a job working for government. And when they tell you that there's 1% inflation, they're simply not telling the truth. Suddenly the price of shirts hasn't gone up, but then the shirts are actually being produced over in Malaysia, being produced in China. Suddenly the price of television sets hasn't gone up, and cell phones, because they're all produced overseas. But the price of things producing here are going up, at least many of them are. But basically, when the price of bonds begins to fall, when the interest rates on bonds begins to rise, and certainly we're going to see more and more of that, this is a sign that the whole structure of debt is beginning to crumble. Because what happens is when you get the interest rates up high enough, and then you've got to pay interest on a debt that equals your gross domestic product. Certainly, this right now our debt is about $13.8 trillion. Our gross domestic product is about $14.6 or $14.7 trillion. But next year, why our debt will exceed our gross domestic product, at that time becomes unmanageable. The interest rates go up, and then, of course, very soon, all the money, or the vast majority of the money that comes into the government, goes to pay interest on the national debt. And there's no money for the military. There's no money for Social Security. There's no money for Medicare. There's no money for federal unemployment. And the whole structure of government begins to crumble. Do you anticipate something like that happening, Ron?
Exactly. In fact, let me read one paragraph that came from an article from Jordan Roy Byrne. He said, in fiscal year 2010, the government paid $414 billion in interest expenses, which equates to 17% of revenue. When you account for the $14 trillion in total debt, that works out to be 2.96% in interest. In fiscal year 2007, total debt was $8.95 trillion, but the interest expense was $430 billion and 17% of revenue. That accounts for an interest rate of 4.8%. So the fact that they've kept interest rates low for the last two or three years has kept the thing from falling apart. But we're running the printing press so fast that the rest of the world sees what we're doing, and now the interest rates have to start rising, and once they do, then everything starts to fall apart.
And I think people have to understand the military budget is about $500 billion, and here we're talking about $400-some-odd billion for interest. Now, admittedly, there's another $150 billion for the senseless no-win wars we're fighting over there, trying to inflame the Muslim world and get them to hate us, because that's all we're accomplishing. We're not going to win the war over there, and we've pretty well destroyed the infrastructure of Iraq. I mean, with the wicked Saddam Hussein was in power, at least they had water running every day all the time, and they had electricity. Now if they get an hour of water a day and 2 hours of electricity, after America's been there for 7 years, seven long years, how could you do such a poor job unintentionally? And I think they want to see how they can destroy a first world nation. They certainly did that as far as Zimbabwe. That was done by your American State Department by installing a Marxist thug and keeping him in power and saying, oh, how terrible he is, but we just got to give him money for humanitarian aid. And basically, it looks to me like they're planning on how you destroy a first world nation. Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, was the first world nation before America, went in there to make sure they had equality, and now they have equality of suffering. Basically, we have John calling from Spokane, Washington. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Could we end up the same way that Baghdad is? Could we end up the same way that Zimbabwe is? Well, if God is just, he's going to bring judgment upon this nation because, of course, the good people here are enjoying the good life, really totally unconcerned about the devastation being wrought by American foreign policy and American dollars being used to keep, of course, the thug Mugabe in power in Zimbabwe. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Doing good. I've got two questions for Ron. The first question is, I heard that the reason why the media is saying all these glowing reports about how the economy is doing and what have you is mainly so that the suckers will stay in the market while the insiders are getting out, and secondly, that what they're getting out into is gold and silver, and that the insiders are buying up all the gold and silver while keeping trying to keep the prices low. What's your take on that, Ron?
agree with both points. Let's face it, the world monetary system is a fiat system based on debt, and therefore it's really nothing more than a gigantic confidence game. So
hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Ron.
A major percentage of the effort of government is to convince people that things are better than they are, because if they allow confidence to collapse, then the whole system falls apart. So I agree with that first point.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
corrupt and destroy the structure of local government. Certainly, as they curtail the amount of money that they have to cut back on education, they have to cut back on the fire department, the police department, and maybe they're really trying to destroy the local structure of government and set up a regional government and then restructure our society where these regionals will be controlled by bureaucrats rather than elected representatives. And Ron said, yes, in fact, Jim Willie, who's a very well-known writer, had in his latest newsletter talked about some very similar things. Is that Ron? Right, Ron?
Absolutely. He's basically saying that it's a strategy to break the backs of the municipalities and the states. Then the federal government has to step in to bail them out, and when you bail them out, then you take control of them. So, yeah, what we're witnessing is a fascist model where they're trying to get the government in partnership with the big corporations, and they control everything. And
what they really want to do is enslave the people. What they want to do is really, John, lower our living standards and certainly produce austerity. That is the term they use. They want austerity for us. They want to lower our living standards. Why should we live so well when there's so many people throughout the world who live at a lower level? So we lower our living standards here. We raise the living standards throughout the world. And then we have a world feudalistic system. We have a ruling class and then everybody else enslaved. And that's just exactly where they're heading. And they're going to destroy the structure of our local government and our representative government. And you're going to have simply an elite that rule, and Congress will be more or less irrelevant. Anything else, John?
One last question. If their intention is to create chaos and then out of the chaos bring forward this new world government and under one financial system and what have you, if we were to, let's say, for example, like enough people were to get educated, like Institute on the Constitution and some of the other things, Dr. Stan, that you talk about, and they understand what's really going on. Do you think if there's no way to basically prevent this moment of chaos happening, if on the local levels enough people start to push forward and push back against this, instead of out of the chaos coming the one world government, maybe we could end up having something that's more God-oriented, you might say?
Not a bad idea. What are your thoughts, Ron?
I think he's right on target. I think the Tea Parties are the early stages of an awakening, but I think you hit it right on the nose. It has to be a spiritual awakening. So as more and more people get pinned against the wall in their ox's gourd and we see the federal government taking power, you're starting to see movements and states' rights movements all over, which is the beginning of what you're talking about. But we're really kind of at a crossroads in this country, and we're heading towards a crisis either way. But if we take the left fork, then we go down the road to socialism, Marxism, government control of everything, and slavery. If we take the right fork, then we fight the battle. There'll have to be a spiritual awakening for this to happen, and people wake up to what our government originally was, and that was a rule of law based on biblical principle, allowed the greatest prosperity and freedom known in the history of the world. So we need an awful lot of education. You know, the Tea Parties are a start, but we need the leadership to come forward to steer them in the right direction so they don't get co-opted by the establishment.
Well, you know, John, everybody says, you know, look at these congressmen. They're all getting money from the lobbyists. They're getting payoffs, you know, when they leave Congress, when they go to work for a lobby firm like Robert Dole did, or Bill Clinton gets out of office. Why, he gets almost $500 million for the Clinton, the library and the Clinton Foundation. This is payoff for services rendered. Well, if the Congress certainly was limited in what it could do, if they could only do the 18 things that are laid out in Section 8 of Article 1 of the Constitution, why, the big corporations would have no advantage of trying to bribe the congressmen because the congressmen couldn't do anything for them. It's only because of this misuse of the power of government that, of course, we have the corruption we do. And what we need to do is get back to our Constitution. We need people to understand it. And then we need to understand that the people who founded this country overall were God-fearing people, and as it was known at that time, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And if we don't get back to believing in the Lord and begin getting our kids out of government schools where their belief is systematically destroyed. The purpose of education is not to educate, it's to destroy belief in God and in country and family, and indoctrinate them to believe in environmentalism and internationalism, and we need an all-powerful government to look after us from the cradle to the grave. We need to get our kids out. We need to indoctrinate them in a belief in America and in patriotism and in the Constitution and certainly in God. We'll be right back in a moment. Sydney, we see this whole thing unfolding. It looks to me like the situation is really not all taken care of over in Europe. They'd like to make us think that things are just fine, that now they've lent some money to Ireland to bail out their banks, and they lent the money to Greece. Everything's going to be all right. Is it going to be all right? Because remember, of course, if Europe gets into real financial problems, well, they're going to have to come to America, and we're going to have to create money to get them out of trouble. It's amazing to imagine that Mr. Bernanke, who could not come up with any money to rescue Bear Stearns, he could not come up with any money to rescue Lehman Brothers because he didn't have the authority, had the authority to lend money starting in 2007. To European banks to get them out of trouble. And they lend money to Toyota and other foreign corporations, but we couldn't stop the crisis from developing here. What do you think is going to happen over in Europe?
Well, you know, I was listening to your interview, was it last week, with Jerome Corsi?
Right.
And he was talking about in that TARP fund, Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, the socialist, right.
Right, that forced the bill through to expose what the TARP fund money was used for. And I think, was that Jerome Corsi said $3.5 trillion, and a lot of it went to loans to, 34 nations in Europe and so forth?
I think it was 3.3, but I wouldn't argue whether, a couple $100 billion is...
Well, you know, Jeff Rentz, I had a client call, and I haven't had a chance to follow up on this, but Jeff Rentz had an article this morning, or this week, saying that the total figure exposed was $8 trillion.
So. It may very well have been. We don't really know. I mean, basically, they say, well, we were lending the same money over and over again. It got paid back. We were lending it over again. Some people say it's $11 or $12 billion. We don't know. And as Bernie Sanders pointed out, they have not really, of course, been very transparent. In fact, they've not brought forward a lot of the information that they were required to do. And even though Bernie Sanders is a socialist on this, you've got to give him a lot of credit.
Right. But what it really says, when that information starts to come out talking about a confidence game, if you're in China or some other big country and you see what we're really doing, we're just holding this house of cards together with really nothing more than smoke and mirrors. So if you're in China and you're holding our treasury bonds, are you going to want to buy more or you want to dump the ones you got? So everything we do is leading people to flee out of our currency. So
hold that thought, Ron. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, as you know, is Ron Brown. And Sydney is just talking about the fact that Ben Bernanke had to admit that they had actually taken $3.3 trillion that created it. We don't know where the money came from. They probably created it out of nothing. And they led it to corporations in Europe. They led it to European banks. They led it to Toyota and other foreign corporations. There wasn't any money to rescue Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers because Ben Bernanke didn't have the authority to lend them any money. But, of course, he could start again in 2007. They were lending money to foreign banks and foreign corporations. And now this is only coming out. And Ben Bernanke, of course, didn't want the public to know why, because they don't want people to understand that this whole system is beginning to collapse. and they're frightened that people will understand this and will actually maybe try to get themselves into a good position to protect themselves. They want to drag everybody down. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, you're watching the demise of the American monetary system, of the world monetary system. Fiat systems don't work, and this one's beginning to crumble. Well, before we go on, we've got a couple of callers. I've got Roman calling from Columbus, Tony calling from Michigan, and we have one more line open at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But Rana wants you to get out your telephone number and tell people how they can get in touch with you and why they should get in touch with you.
Okay, my toll-free number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. Anyone that calls, most people that call me, I get a lot of people that have never bought gold and silver in their life, and they're just waking up to what's going on. So sometimes I think I'm more of a teacher than a salesman. So I spend hours with people just trying to help them to understand what's going on, and I feel like that's what I'm called to do. So if you're new to it, just feel free to call me. If you'd like, I'd be glad to put you on my email list, and when I read stuff that I think is very pertinent, I'll send it out to people. I try not to overwhelm them, but try to keep people abreast of what's coming down. So, most of us are on a treadmill trying to make a living, and we don't have time to do all the studying, and so I just try to keep people abreast when I think there's something really important.
One more time, your telephone number.
That's 1-800-595-0561.
All right, let's go to Roman, who's calling us from Columbus, Ohio. He's listening back there in shortwave. How's the shortwave reception, Roman?
Well, I'm catching you. It's a pleasure to be on your show, by the way. I'm catching you on about three different signals, and you're about 7.2 megahertz. It's coming in fairly clear, and then I back off about 7 and then about 6.8. For some reason, you're coming on three different frequencies. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, I'm glad we're there. That's a very powerful station, 250,000 watt, and maybe bleeding over in the other frequencies, but the important thing is you're getting it. And I said you have a question for our guest.
Well, I hope, again, I don't go the wrong way, but you did mention about different dams that they've taken out, and I think you're talking about hydroelectric dams.
That's right. In other words, they're tearing out the dams so that we won't have hydroelectric electricity. Electricity is very, very cheap, hydroelectricity.
I understand all
right.
that. I've studied that more than one subject. I am an engineer, and I do understand about all that stuff. Now, they've taken out an awful lot of small dams that are not hydroelectric dams. Dams that are just there in the river for flood control
sure,
purposes.
You're right. And of course, there's going to be chaos as a result of that down there.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm seeing in every article I've read around here in Columbus, Ohio. They make it sound like if those dams aren't really needed for flood control because we don't have a problem anymore.
Well, you're sure going to have it with those. You have to understand,
yeah.
Roman, that they want to destroy our country. They want to disrupt our society. I mean, this is exactly what we did in Zimbabwe. We went in there to destroy that nation. We've destroyed it. We went into Iraq. We destroyed that nation, the infrastructure of it. We've been in charge for 7 long years. And they still only have water about 1 or 2 hours a day, and electricity at the most 2 or 3 hours a day. You couldn't do such a bad job. Unintentionally, they're doing everything they can to destroy this nation. When you understand that, it all makes sense.
Well, that sounds like something, about 10 years ago that Dr. Noah Hutchings was talking about what they did with Kosovo.
Sure.
In that small country next
right.
door to there.
Right.
It was when Bill Clinton was in power, they were bombing there and everything else.
They bombed the electric plants. They just totally destroyed the country.
Just sure did.
But when you understand we're up against organized evil, Roman, you begin to get some sense of what they're doing. And they are doing this here. You can read their Agenda 21 program. This is the master plan. It's available from Radio Liberty. It's a United Nations plan. And they want to simply lower our living standards, get us into smaller homes, get us out of cars, get us onto bicycles. That's why they're putting the bicycle trails all over across America. And you say that's madness. I mean, this is never going to work here. And I only wish that were so, but unfortunately these people hold the reins of power. Until we can expose them, nothing's going to change. Do you have any sort of question you'd like to ask our good
friend? No, I think that's about all I wanted to say, except that over there in Oregon, the state of Oregon, around Portland, they've been having flood problems, and I wonder if that's got anything to do with any dams they might have taken out over there.
I'm not a physician, but you're absolutely right. One reason for the dams is to prevent floods. By taking them out, they know exactly what they're doing. And then they're going to say, oh, shucks, how could that possibly have happened? Oh, Gus, we just made a mistake. These people do not make mistakes, Roman. They know what they're doing, and they're evil. Thanks so much for calling. And
okay, you too. God bless you,
God bless
sir.
You. Let's go to Tony, who's calling us from Michigan. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Tony. How are you doing?
How you doing, Stan? And Ron. It's the same Ron, right?
Right.
Are you the one who said with America needs a spiritual awakening?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're getting farther and farther away from that. And Stan, I know you're a godly man. I don't even think about Ron, but I know you're a godly man.
He is a godly man, too. He's a wonderful person.
Well, first time I ever heard him talk. Have you ever heard of Tony Perkins?
What's that?
Tony Perkins from FIC, Family Counseling. Tony Perkins, you know, he's worked with family.
Oh, Tony Perkins, yeah, I know who he is. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And he was on the web, he was talking to go to read Romans 1:18-32. And it tells you about what's happening. How can this be when all the stuff is going on, abortions, homosexuality? You know, how can this be a spiritual awakening when it's getting further and further away?
You're absolutely
God.
Right. Well, I think, they say, it's always darkest just before the dawn. And
I hope that's true.
I hope that's true, but we're just going to have to wait and see. But you're absolutely right. I believe God's going to bring his judgment on this country. That's the only way he's going to get people's attention.
That's right, because we're getting further away from God, and we need a spiritual awakening. We need to start now.
Amen to that. Okay.
Okay.
I agree with you. God bless. And
thank you. God bless you also.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And you go to Washington, D.C., and you look at the Jefferson Memorial. And, of course, remember Thomas Jefferson. Oh, my goodness, he talked about the wall of separation between church and state. But you look there on the back of that government building, that government monument, and it says this: God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberties of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. And I believe that is absolutely true. And I believe maybe that's one reason why we're beginning to see the whole financial structure of this society begin being destroyed, because, of course, I really believe that there are powerful dark forces behind this whole monetary system. And, of course, but that's a subject for an entirely different program, but I would simply comment that if you've read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, he talks about the secret society, which became the Council on Foreign Relations. Who financed the secret society that was created in 1891? Well, it really came about because Lord Rothschild, who was the richest man in England at that time, financed Cecil Rhodes so he could buy up the gold and diamond mines of Africa, and then use that money to create a secret society to bring about a world government. And according to Professor Quigley, Lord Rothschild was a member of that secret society. He dropped out of it and replaced his membership with his son-in-law's membership. But, of course, we could see their hand behind everything going on today. And if you get into the background of who really owns the Federal Reserve System, it's about 10 large banks in America. They own 70% of it. And a lot of the stock in those major companies is owned by the Rothschilds. It has nothing to do with the fact they're Jewish. It has to do with that they've been involved in the occult and influenced by the occult for generations. But that's a different subject, Tony. Well, let's get back to what we're talking about with Ron, but I think we can never want to get to the fact where we don't recognize behind everything going on, whether it be certainly financial, whether it be military, whether it be political, there are always spiritual forces. Well, Ron, certainly, what's your impression of what's going on in Europe today?
Well, to me, it's like a snowball that started down the hill. Ice going to went under, and they had to step in and bail that nut put a squeeze on a lot of the other countries who had loaned money to them. Then Greece went down and they had to loan them money. Now it's Portugal, or Ireland, excuse me. And Portugal has got their hand halfway raised up, and Spain is about to step up and raise their hand. So it's like this snowball coming down the hill, and it's just gathering momentum, and they try to cover it up with. So I think what you're going to eventually see is that Germany is going to have to back away, and they're talking about a northern euro, in other words, of the northern states, and they're going to have to abandon the southern states, which were always just sucking the life out of the northern states, which were the producers.
Well, I think one of the most interesting things, you talked about Iceland, and people don't really understand Iceland, but what happened is that the banks over there were basically borrowing all sorts of money. They were offering very high interest rates. A lot of people from England and Ireland put their money in the banks there in Iceland, and then they were lending money. Of course, with a fractional reserve system, they could lease a loan 10, 20, 30 times the actual money they had deposited, and the banks were making money hand over fist, and certainly the economy and Iceland was booming, and of course you have all this money available. Why, everybody does well. And then came the day of reckoning, and of course the economy turned down, and suddenly a lot of the investments that the Icelandic banks had invested in lost half, two-thirds of their value, and these banks became insolvent. And of course the English people demanded their money and deposit back. They wouldn't give it to them. The Irish people demanded their money back. The Icelandic banks wouldn't give it. So I believe England and Ireland actually replaced that money, and then they demanded it from Iceland. And of course, they wanted, of course, to borrow tremendous amounts of money to keep the banks solvent. And they held a vote over there, and the Icelandic people said, no way. I mean, we've lost half, two-thirds of the value of our money. We've been impoverished, but we're not going to bail out the banks. And we're not going to pay back all this money that they have borrowed. I mean, the people who lent money to that bank should lose that money. And so basically, Ireland went into a period of recession, and now they're beginning to dig their way out, and the economy is beginning to revive, and they're beginning to get a sound currency again. And they put some of the people from government in prison, and they're putting some people from the banks in prison, and that's exactly what we've got to have to do. We're going to difficult times one way or the other, but basically we ought to let the banks go down, let the whole monetary system collapse, and then start building again. But we have to do away with the debt, because we have a debt, a national debt, just by itself, which next year will exceed the gross domestic product. And then we've got superimposed upon that the state debt, the county debt, the municipal debt, the school bond debt, the corporate debt, the individual debt. And, of course, this is going to weigh down the country. We got to get out from under that debt, and the best thing to do would simply, since it was all based upon fraudulent money, money created by the fractional reserve system, we might as well just, it's not immoral simply to say, we're not going to pay our debts, we're going to start in all over again. They used to have a jubilee as described in the Bible, and maybe we need something like that today. What are your thoughts, Ron?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you go back to Europe, it's really more of a power play where they created the European Union to bring all these countries together. Now they're collapsing them in order to bail them out. The BIS and these big international banking systems are trying to bail them out, but then they put a ring in their nose. So they're basically destroying the sovereignty of these nations. So it's just kind of like what we're seeing going on in this country, where the states are having to wake up and fight the states' rights battle to keep the federal bureaucracy from just taking over. And I think that's what you're talking about in Ireland. The people are just saying enough. It's the bankers and then the big government that's destroying things, and we're not going to play the game anymore. So I think we're just coming to a showdown where in this country it's going to be the states' rights. Do they have the courage to stand up and stand against the all-powerful federal government? I think the federal government's trying to collapse them and create the bankruptcy, so it forces them in. So I think we've got the showdown at OK Corral starting right now, and I think it's going to just get hotter and heavier as we go.
Well, of course, I've always felt that you borrowed money, you had an obligation to pay it back. What people don't understand is that that's not money that you borrowed. It was credit. It was created out of nothing. And, of course, they would create $10 out of every dollar they had in deposit, or $20 or $30 or $40 with these multipliers, and they were simply creating all of this money and lending it out, and then of course when the economy turned down, people couldn't pay back their loans. But there was never any money that was really involved, not real money. It was all a figment of the imagination. Until people understand this whole thing is immoral, it's designed, of course, to enrich a small group and enslave the masses. And we can do one of two things. We can either take a stand against this fraudulent system, get people to understand it, and suddenly get our government to say that you don't have to pay these loans back, or you can pay them back at 20 cents on the dollar. That's, they only have $10 at the most in all of the money that they lent you, and they would get their initial investment back in 3 years, and after that it was all gravy for the next 27 years on your 30-year loan. People don't understand the fraudulent nature of this. We've got a great DVD called The Secret of Oz, The Secret of Oz by William Still. Excellent source of information. We need a crash course to learn what's going on. Ron, what should people be doing now?
Well, the first thing they need to do is wake up and face reality. You know, I remember Dr. Stan, and I've shared this quote several times, so have you, but when I first got involved, and what really woke me up, when I started reading quotes from people like Richard Gardner and these people in the Trilateral Commission, and what they were basically saying is what we must do is take an end run around national sovereignty to erode it piece by piece, to raise the standard of living of the undeveloped countries of the world while we lower the standard of living in America so they can more comfortably be merged into a new world order. And my gosh, when you look at what's happened over the 30 years, if you had just read that quote and listened to it, see, we've been thinking we have a bunch of idiots up there running the show, but in reality, they're brilliant because they've transformed America, and not 5% of the people understand what's even happened to them. That's not stupidity, that's brilliance.
And basically, they have intentionally transferred our major industries, our textiles, our automotive, electronics, aluminum, even the light bulb industry. Now they're going to be made over there in communist China by General Electric. And General Electric used to make them here. They're going to be making them over in China. We had to have an excuse, ladies and gentlemen, so the American people would never understand that this whole program is intentionally designed to impoverish the American people. And steal.
You're closing, Dr. Stan.
Hold that thought.
People need to either decide they're going to be part of the solution or part of the problem. And if you're going to be part of the solution, you have to wake up and start seeking the truth and take the steps you need to protect yourself, because if you go bankrupt, you become part of the problem. And after that, you know, buying gold and...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
American dollars. You can't go over there and open an account. You can go over and spend your dollars, but you can't actually open an account because they don't want American money over there. They know that we're destroying the value of our currency. We've been exporting our inflation, and they don't want our inflation. One of these days, countries all throughout the world are going to start unloading dollars as they see the value of it falling. And when that happens, those dollars are going to come back in here, and heaven help us. If you want to understand how it all fits together, we have my talk on the financial Armageddon, and it comes with an excellent syllabus. We have another talk on the financial tsunami. I gave it maybe 6 years ago, but it's as true today as it was when I gave it. That comes with a syllabus. You have to understand the terms M1, M2, M3, carry trade, how they're manipulating this whole system, where the gold is held, and of course, what significance of the holdings of the First Federal Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, which is the very crux of the Federal Reserve System. How it was created, of course, we have the excellent book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, must reading for anybody who wants to know what's going on. We have a small book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, written by our good friend, Professor Tony Sutton, before he passed away. We also carry his little book on the Trilateral Commission. And these are the people, of course, who coordinate the banks of the world, which are trying to bring about this one world government, because that's what it's really all about. And that's why they actually collapsed the economic system at this time. They could have kept it going. They had the power to do it, but they wanted to collapse it, because they're working on a timetable. We're just not privy to what that timetable is. So the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, my talks on the financial tsunami with a syllabus, the financial Armageddon with a syllabus. And then, of course, we have a great DVD. It's put out by our friend Bill Still. It's entitled The Secret of Oz. And basically, it's like The Wizard of Oz, and it goes into the background of that story as an allegory for what was going on at the beginning of the 20th century. And, of course, the effort, of course, to certainly to tire money to gold. Now, I disagree with Bill on a couple of minor items, but overall, this is one of the finest DVDs you'll ever see. The Secret of Oz, it will give you the background that you need to understand the fraudulent nature of a fiat money system that is coming unraveled now and is going to end up totally destroying the income and the life savings and the pensions and the annuities and the insurance policies and the value of the dollar. And, of course, impoverishing the American people. And that's what the plan is. And if you doubt that, you need to read Richard Haass's latest article. Richard Haass and Roger Altman. Richard Haass is the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. And in the November-December issue of the Council on Foreign Relations magazine, Foreign Affairs, that's Foreign Affairs magazine, you can get it at your library or most of the bookstores would be able to get it for you. Why, of course, they talk about what lies ahead. They talk about lowered living standards, austerity, lower living standards and austerity, lower living standards and austerity. About the third to fourth time they mention that, pretty soon you begin to realize that's what they're planning for the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. They talk about, oh, the global markets aren't going to allow us to keep running up debts. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Trilateral Commission, and of course Richard Haass was a member of the Trilateral Commission before he entered government service, the Trilateral Commission, the people who own the major banks are all part of this whole little complex of people of great wealth. There are not any global markets out there that certainly are responding to interest rates. This is the number of international financiers who are manipulating the world economy and are going to end up impoverishing the American people. We have another great book. It's called The Coming War. It's the story written in 1899 of the plan. Coming Battle is the title. How the banks were going to take over America. They actually have done it. We have my little pamphlet on the prophetic warning. It's Andrew Jackson's farewell speech. Read it through. It's like it was written yesterday. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, Brad Friedrichs, we're going to be talking about what's going on voting. Well, we'll be talking probably about a lot of things. I always enjoy talking with Brad. But certainly one of the most important things, we talk about America being a democracy. I don't believe it's a democracy. I believe it's a republic. But we do hold votes to elect our local representatives, which is a democratic process. And certainly we democratically elect our congressmen. And fortunately, we democratically elect our senators. Initially, they were to be appointed by the states, so they would represent the states. But of course, there were those who wanted to convert us into a democracy. And then, of course, once you have accepted the idea it's democracy, then whatever the people vote for is all right. But of course, how do you know the votes are honest? And of course, certainly what you must understand is that, back in about the year 2000, why we heard about those hanging chads on the ballots in Florida. We had to have something that we didn't have hanging chads, and so they brought in the electronic voting machines specifically because they can all be rigged. And then, of course, we can have people go to the polls and vote, but the outcome will be predetermined. And unfortunately, in most of the states, we still are using these electronic voting machines. And, of course, here in California, they've done away from them pretty well. I think we have two counties that still use them. But, of course, as Brad points out, even if you have paper ballots, of course, they are run through an electronic counter, and that can be rigged as well. Brad, how are we going to be sure we have honest elections in America?
Well, very good question, sir. I think there's a lot of work that we have to do. We have to start making people understand the concerns, understand the threats, so that they know what needs to be done about it. And one of the things that needs to be done about it, I think, is that we need to start counting ballots by hand, by human beings, in front of the entire community at the polling place, before those ballots move anywhere. And, of course, we can only do that in cases where we have paper ballots. And, Stan, you know, I've been You and I have been talking for years about this, and I've been trying to alert people to the concerns about touchscreen voting systems. Those are still used across some 20 to 30% of America. But in the rest of America, where we use paper ballots, hand-marked paper ballots, nobody bothers to count them. They still run them through computers, which, as you correctly say, can be rigged to say whatever the the rigger wants them to say, as well as they're often just inaccurate because of malfunction. And, you know, people think, well, if we have a paper ballot hand-marked, then that's better than a touchscreen. Well, it is better in theory, but again, only if you count those ballots. And the dirty little secret is that virtually no one ever does. And it's absolutely maddening to me because, you know, you'll hear on the night of election, just, you know, sometimes minutes after the polls closed, who won and who lost. And what you're not told is that nobody has ever actually counted a single ballot when they announce who has won or who lost.
Well, it's amazing, though, how often when they do count the ballots, it ends up just like that you've been told immediately after the polls close. Ladies and gentlemen, they rig elections. When you get into a situation like we are today, where there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no God, there's no punishment, there's no hell, well, basically, why shouldn't you cheat? After all, I mean, if you get into political power, you can do a lot of good, or you can make a lot of money. There's a tremendous incentive to want to win elections. And basically, of course, if we have to have checks and double checks and triple checks, and we used to have a pretty good system. We used to have paper ballots. They were counted at the precinct level. They were sent down and they were recounted. There were people guarding these every step of the way. And now, of course, whoever has the power can determine who's going to win the election, unfortunately. Well, Brad, how prevalent do you think this misuse of the ballot is today?
Well, that's the problem. We don't know. And I'll just correct you on one point. I don't know that it was better in the past, actually, because much of this country has never really experienced what we call precinct-based hand counting. You know, a lot of people, when they talk about paper ballots, you know, they have nightmares of Florida 2000, where they saw thousands of ballots being counted in one place, or they'll talk about, you know, Chicago in the 60s, stuffing the ballot boxes and so forth. That was only doable when the ballots were counted behind closed doors in a single place, by and large. If you're counting them as they do, for example, up in New Hampshire and some 40% of the towns up there, they will still count them by hand. At the end of the night, they'll open up the ballot box in front of the entire community. Everybody comes and watches. You know, they've got folks from all the political parties watching and participating in the counting, observing. It's all done completely openly. And then they'll post the results from that precinct at that precinct before those ballots move anywhere. And in such a decentralized system, it's very, very difficult to game it, at least without getting caught.
That's because I remember. Remember, I'm a lot older than you are, Brad. I can remember certainly back in the 1930s when my mother went and worked at the polls because you got paid a couple of dollars a day. That was a lot of money in those days. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they counted the ballots, and she would get so furious because there'd be some people there on the other side, and they'd say, oh, well, that doesn't look like a very good ballot. Let's throw it out. And then she'd say, no, you're not going to throw that out. And they would argue back and forth. But then they would simply post there on wherever the voting was,
yep,
the number of people, and then those ballots would move downtown. This was in Oakland, California,
uh-huh,
back in the heydays of the 30s. And certainly at that time, I think we had, at least in Oakland, we had fairly accurate. But I think,
yep,
at one time, this was across America, and then, oh, wasn't it more efficient when we have electronic? And wouldn't it be great if we could just let the people know immediately after the polls so that everybody would know who won the president's election by 8 o'clock at night? And that's really what happens. Of course, it doesn't matter that the exit polls show the entirely different results than the paper ballots, or at least the electronic ballots.
But well, you know, when that happens, they literally do this. They'll admit this, that they do this with the exit polls. They adjust the exit polls to match the final results of the election. They used to use those exit polls as a check and balance against the election. to determine if there has been fraud. And that's still the way, the reason they use exit polls
across the world. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Brad was just saying that the exit polls, you know, at one time they were used to determine whether or not it was a legitimate election. But since we really aren't interested in legitimate elections now, they adjust the exit polls to correspond with whatever the people in charge decide the vote is going to be.
Yeah, but, and the pollsters will admit that they do this. They say that, you know, we adjust it because they, and I've spoken with many exit pollsters, they consider the actual results, no matter how they're reported, you know, hand-counted, touchscreen, paper ballots through an optical scanner, they regard those results as the gold standard. So they figure if their exit results don't match those final results, then they must have done something wrong. So they tweak their results a little bit. They weigh it a little bit, you know, put more Democrats or more Republican, whatever it is, until their exit poll results match the final results. We only do that in this country. All the other countries out there, they will use those exit polls to determine if there has been fraud. When they see numbers that are vastly different in the exit results than in the actual election results, this is a red flag that there is fraud. In this country, we've stopped doing that as of 2004. In large part, we don't even use exit polls anymore because, what do you know, all across the country in 2004, the exit polls showed that John Kerry won the race.
In
but
fact,
for
he,
some reason, that was no good.
And, of course, he won the election in Ohio. We know there was one precinct there with, I think there was 800 people registered, and there were 1,200 votes for George Bush. And they know that that John Kerry won the election, but the fix was in. George Bush was supposed to win it. That we know from actually several people were actually sent to prison after that. American people were never told. These were Republicans who were sent to prison for rigging the recount vote.
Yeah.
But of course, the John Kerry, who was in on the fix, belonged to the same secret society that that George Bush did, Skull and Bones. Both of them, when asked by one of the news broadcasters about the secret society, both of them said, "Oh, it's so secret, we can't discuss it." And Tim Russert, within a few years, was dead. Yeah, a very young man, a very good commentator. I think of his honesty. Asked him about the secret society, and I think there's certain things you're not supposed to ask about. Anyway, John Kerry, with plenty of money and knowing full well he'd won the election, didn't bother to challenge the outcome. In fact, it was the Libertarians, what was the Libertarians and the Green Party, that actually challenged it. And what happened when they did challenge the vote in Ohio?
Yeah, well, as you referred to, in one of the largest counties, Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland, two poll workers were actually sentenced to the maximum in prison for having rigged the recount. So we never got a legitimate recount in most of those counties, and the election, which, by the way, is still contested, an election fraud suit has still been working its way through the courts in Ohio for 2004, and because of that suit, a federal judge ordered that all 88 counties in Ohio retain their ballots from the 2004 election. Well, we came to learn at some point in 2006 that despite the federal order to all 88 counties to keep all of their ballots, 56 out of 88 counties destroyed or lost some or all of their ballots.
But
go figure.
Brad, you have to understand it's all a matter of perception. We've got to convince the American people that our electoral process is honest, which is why certainly Richard Nixon did not challenge the election results in 1960 when John Kennedy stole the election, or his dad stole the election, and the mafia fixed the election results in a couple of states, Illinois and one other state. But Richard Nixon did not challenge that because the American people have to believe we have an honest electoral process. I honestly believe that, and I believe that's why John Kerry didn't challenge. He could have certainly should have won the election in 2004, but of course he understood we cannot let the American people challenge the way the system works. Have you ever thought of that?
Well, yeah. You know, you made a good point. Of course, when you mentioned the secret societies for John Kerry and George Bush, you had mentioned your mother in there fighting over the ballots. We have entirely too many secrets. And when we have secrets, You know, this allows chicanery to happen. It's about transparency. And you ask, you know, how do we correct the situation with our elections? It's about transparency. And, you know, we may talk about the WikiLeaks in a bit because that's also about secrets. So the more transparency, the safer, really, everybody is, it seems to me. So when it comes to counting ballots and elections, I can't tell you how many have or haven't been rigged because it's all kept a secret. And, you know, I got to give credit right now to Joe Miller up there in Alaska, who ran for Senate as the Republican nominee. You know, he's the last guy in the world, frankly, that I would have voted for because I think he's, well, kind of crazy. That said, I will give him credit because he is up there fighting for a hand count of those ballots. You know, Lisa Murkowski has been announced the winner as a write-in candidate for the first time in Alaska history, and maybe she won. The problem is the state of Alaska, the voters in Alaska, don't know because the ballots, other than Murkowski's, because she was a write-in candidate, you know, her votes were counted in public in front of everybody. They had to look at each ballot to see whose name was written in. But when it came to all of the other ballots in the election, Joe Miller's as the Republican, Scott McAdams as the Democrat, those were counted by Diebold optical scan machines. And those same machines have been shown up in Alaska in particular. The Democratic Party back in 2006 had to go to court for months to try to get copies of the databases from 2004 because the results showed that there was about 100,000 votes less, 100,000 votes less than actually existed if you added up all of the district by district totals, and they have no idea what happened to those hundreds of thousands of ballots. And again, it was because it was done in secret. Put it out in the public, put it in front of everybody. You know, allow folks like your mother to get in there and fight it out. Yes, we'll have questions about, you know, the voter intent. Did they mean to vote for this person or for that person? But we can fight about it in public, and we can decide what it says. When it's done secretly inside a computer, it can say anything, and of course nobody's going to fight about it because they can't see it. And, you know, that's not democracy. That's not what this country was built on, which I would argue was built on, you know, checks and balances and self-governance.
And you never trust anything. I think that's right. You trust but verify. I think that was a Ronald Reagan statement.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm not even sure I want to trust. I just want to verify. So.
That's right.
And I think this is really what's so vitally important. And whether it be on the right or the left, conservative or liberal, we want certainly an honest electoral process. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have this in America. And I know the first couple of times I heard this, I said, oh, this is just a lot of malarkey, you know. They're just trying to scare people, keep them out away from the electoral process. Well, I think we ought to be involved in the electoral process, but I think we ought to be involved also to make sure we get an honest vote, because it was Stalin who said, you know, it really doesn't matter how people vote. It's who counts the votes. It's important.
Yep.
And that's what it's all about. And we need, and Brad is on the front line of this, and he does an awful lot of work. You have your own radio program, Brad?
I sit in for various folks around the country as guest hosts. So we do. I also do a Green News report on a regular basis. And again, even in the Green News, try to cover issues that people aren't covering. And, you know, I got to give you credit, Dr. Stan, because you've had me on for years. And, you know, normally my phone will start ringing off the hook a day or two or a week or 2 weeks before an election when everybody gets worried about the voting systems that we use. And guess what? You can't do anything about it at that point because we're a week away from an election. Now is the time to be concerned about these things. Now is the time to be going to your county clerk and saying, look, can we do hand-counted pilot programs in the next election? Maybe count just a few precincts by hand to see how it works, to see if we remember how to do it, how fast it is, how accurate it is, and, you know, start to restore open, overseeable, transparent democracy to this country. Whether you like the word democracy or not, that is what it is when it comes to elections, at least. And, you know, as you say, no matter who the winner is, right, left, Republican, Democrat, independent, I don't care. I just want the person who got the most votes to be named the winner.
And I think that's true, and we do, certainly at the local level, we do have democracy in this idea.
Yeah.
We have to make it work, because if we don't make it work, we lose our freedom. And basically, of course, we can talk about the media certainly not giving sometimes conservative candidates an even break. I know when I ran for a Congress and I was won the primary in a contested election, very close vote, but I did win it, and the newspaper refused to announce that I'd won it. And when the reporter who told me the story went to the editor and said, "Well, aren't you going to run a story saying Dr. Monteith run the primary?" The editor said, "Of course not." And that, of course, is unfortunately what we see. Well, that's neither here nor there. You have to have honest voting, and we need to be involved in the political process. But we have to have, in every community, organizations, call them Tea Party, call them what you will, doesn't matter. You can have it the Republican Central Committee, the Democrat Central Committee. But we have to insist on honest voting, because we can never tell when the other side, and whether Republicans or Democrats, people will do anything to win elections. Unfortunately, there's a great deal of money at stake. There's a great deal of power at stake. And power corrupts absolutely everyone, and the desire for power. And so basically, Brad is talking about so much of this, and when we get back, we'll talk about what's happened here in California. Certainly in California, why we had predominance of electronic voting machines, and the only time I've ever voted for a Democrat, I voted for the Democrat candidate for Secretary of State, because she promised to look into the voting irregularities in the electronic voting machines, and she did it, and I voted for her a second time, because at least she had done what she promised she would do, and the Republican wouldn't do it. The same Republican had been the editor of the local newspaper, who would not, of course, run an article saying that I had won the primary. But be that as it may, he was the Secretary of State at that time. We'll be right back. Well, Brad, let's talk a little bit about California, because I think really the story of California is...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
San Mateo and Orange County, but certainly throughout most of the rest of the states, they have the paper ballots. Now, remember, those paper ballots are then screened by an electronic screener, and you can rig that too. And when you're dealing with dishonest people, why? Dishonest people do dishonest things. But at least you have a paper ballot, and then you can demand a hand count. And basically, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there across the country, demand a paper ballot. If they don't have paper ballots in your area, start talking about how they rig elections. Point to the election of 1960. Point to the election of 2004, which was totally fraudulent. And most people don't know that when they try to do a recount, some Republicans rigged the election, and a couple of them went to prison. And that election is still being thwarted and pointed out that a federal judge had demanded that all the ballots be kept for the 2004 election, and they were systematically destroyed. The vast majority were destroyed. They do not want the public to realize that they rig elections in America. It's about time that we got involved and we took America back, and we'll not maintain America without free elections.
And I will add, by the way, that when it comes to stealing elections, rigging elections, I can't tell you which ones have and haven't been rigged. And that's the problem. Because they're counted in secret, we have no way of knowing. So, you know, even in cases where your election is fair, is honest, we don't know that it's fair or honest. And, you know, as you point out, that allows people to have concerns about it, to charge that it was rigged, that it was stolen. And that is a great, in and of itself, that is a great threat to democracy. So whether these elections are fair or not is almost beside the point. The biggest question is, can we know that they are fair and honest? And the only way that we can know if they are fair and are honest is if we are allowed to oversee them, if the process is transparent, and if we count the ballots in front of everyone. It's been said, you know, that the mark of a successful election is when the loser and their supporters walk away knowing that they've lost. Well, we're seeing now election after election after election where you've got the losers walking away, you know, yelling and screaming, fraud this, fraud that. Well, maybe there is fraud. Maybe there isn't. If we don't count the ballots in front of people, we simply can't know. And, you know, before I came on the air, your producer or your screener, when he called me up, he had brought up the election in Nevada and the concerns that people have about, did Harry Reid steal the election? Well, I will tell you this. I have no evidence whatsoever that Harry Reid stole that election. Unfortunately, across the entire state of Nevada, they use 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems. So while I have no evidence that he stole that election, I also have no evidence that he didn't steal the election.
And there's no way to verify it with a touchscreen then.
That's right. No way. 100% impossible.
And I think what we need is a real campaign, and I'm going to join with you in this, Nick, trying to do everything we can during this next year, because, of course, when the elections are coming up, it's too late, to let people understand exactly what happened. And basically, the Republicans accused the Democrats of stealing elections, and the Democrats accused the Republicans of stealing elections, and I think they'll both steal elections. I mean, we've seen that. We've seen this over and over again.
Yeah.
And there's just too much at stake. If we want to preserve our freedom, why? Because we have to be involved. And we need to get started. Well, right now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Brad Friedman. We're talking about a vote scam. We're talking about this program that here we have in the United States used electronic means of counting of ballots. And, oh, it's so quick, and we can know so quickly who won the election. But we never do really know who won the election. If it's done electronically, you have to have a means of verifying. And right now, let's go to Susan, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Susan. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi there. Just a comment. You've probably noticed in Santa Cruz that even if they give you the choice to vote on a paper ballot, then they take your paper ballot and put it in a machine that electronically counts it.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, you have a good clerk up there, Gail Pellerin. Talk to her about doing a hand-counted pilot program. Hand-count those ballots instead of running them through that op scanner.
Okay.
Basically, Brad suggests doing this on several of the precincts, and you choose which precincts, that they don't do it down there. I will tell you, there are some people who work in that office I don't trust. I like Gail. I think she's honest. But all you need is one or two people there who have an agenda. And I know, well, I'll not go too much into detail, but I've always been very, very suspicious of the electoral process in that office, not because of the person in charge, but give us a call off the air, Susan, okay?
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Brad, suddenly, do you think there's a growing awareness of the problems that you keep talking about? And, you know, I really believe that certain people have been called to take up certain projects, and we need somebody who's on the front lines as far as this issue is concerned. And suddenly, I think you're doing a great job of getting the information out. But are we making headway? Do you think there are more and more people who are aware of the potential misuse and certainly the downright dishonesty that can come out of using these electronic machines?
Great question. The answer is yes. The people, and I'm going to separate the people from our elected politicians and from our media, but the people, yes, there is a great growing awareness. I see more and more people who understand. You know, back in the days, Stan, when you and I started talking about this, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I would read around on news sites and on blogs, and I'd see some, terrible reporting, referring to voter fraud when, voters did nothing wrong. The concern was the election fraud, the election insiders, the election officials, the voting system. And, and I would be the only one who would jump in and into the comments and say, no, you're reporting this wrong. Now I see tons of other people doing it, tons of other people understanding it across the country. But still not enough. And at the same time, we have this horrible push in the other direction, unfortunately, from too many folks in the right-wing media. Now, I'm not talking about conservatives and real conservatives, folks like you, Stan. I'm talking about, the right-wing opportunists out there who are running around telling you, oh, Acorn, they're stealing your elections, and there's massive Democratic voter fraud going on. The fact of the matter is, there isn't. That's not the concern. Your concern is not, you know, somebody who votes twice, you know, a guy who goes to Ohio, stands in the rain for 6 hours, casts his vote, and then gets back in line and waits another 6 hours to vote again. Your concern is the one guy who is on the inside, who is able to, you know, with the push of a few buttons, to change the numbers, to completely flip an election, and knowing that if there's a touch
hold that thing, thought, hold yep, that thought.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Brad Friedman. And before we go on, Brad,
yeah,
I want you to get your website out. Tell people how they can get in touch with you and get your information.
Thank you. Yes, please stop by bradblog.com, where I cover a lot of these issues, and also my organization, velvetrevolution.us. So bradblog.com, which is a news site, news and opinion, and velvetrevolution.us, where we try to you know, help organize, to help whistleblowers, you know, and help people around the country who are fighting for what we're talking about here is transparent elections. That's really what it comes down to. Forget about accurate elections. We can't know if they're accurate. We might have accurate elections in many places, but if we don't know it, then they might as well not be accurate. So that's what we're fighting for here is transparency in the electoral process. And so please stop by bradblog.com, where I do my best to keep up with this and all of the other news of note of the day, and velvetrevolution.us, where we try to fight the same fight, really, but in a different way.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Brad made a very, very good point just a few moments ago off air. He pointed out that, you know, basically you hear a lot about ACORN and how they're getting people, you know, illegitimate people to perhaps sign up to ineligible people to sign up to vote, or the people who may vote twice, things of this sort. And his point is, yes, this thing may go on, but that's not the real danger, because there's not enough of that going on. The real danger is that when one person using an electronic voting machine can simply alter the outcome of the elections, and that's the real problem. And, of course, we have to have people in positions, certainly the county clerk, people who are honest. And certainly I remember one of my friends that ran in Monterey for the state assembly, and when she went to bed at nighttime, why the votes were two-thirds, so she had over 60-65% of the vote. Her opposition in the Republican primary had 30-35% of the vote. When she woke up in the morning, why the opposition had 65% of the vote and she had 35% of the vote, and they said, oh, we just got sort of mixed up initially. Well, of course, then it turned out that the county clerk in Monterey just happened to be a crook, and he was actually using the credit card, his county credit card, and putting all about $100,000 of Cindy, his own personal expenses, onto his county credit card. He ended up, of course, getting a little slap on the wrist. But when you have dishonest people in that clerk's office, this is the real problem. This is why people have to be involved first to try to get an honest person in. And whether you can have a person who's a Republican, you can have them a Democrat, and they can still be honest people. Certainly we had a fellow named Bedell, as I remember, here in California, in Santa Cruz. He was a Republican, but he was an honest man. And then Gail, I'm Pelgrin, certainly I think that she's a Democrat, but she's an honest person.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you were talking in Monterey. There's a couple of points actually I want to hit there. In Monterey, you had mentioned that county clerk. That was Tony Anchundo, who pled no contest to 43 criminal counts of grand theft, larceny, and forgery, and all sorts of things. And that was just months after I had gone on the air with him, and he was demonstrating Monterey County's new touchscreen voting system and how wonderful it was, and I was asking him questions that eventually he couldn't answer. And he said, well, Brad, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, voters are going to just have to trust their election officials, and in this case, that would be me. And then, of course, about 3 or 4 months later, he was charged with these 43 criminal counts. So the best election officials, and we had mentioned Gail Pellerin out in Santa Cruz, and I said that she was one of the good ones. She is. But you know what? She and I have gotten into it as well. The best election officials out there will tell you, don't trust me. I'm not to be trusted. Yes, of course, we want trustworthy election officials. But who's to say who is trustworthy? We don't want a process where we have to trust anybody. And the best election officials will say that. You know, we want a process that you don't have to trust the election officials. You can see it for yourself. The other point that I just want to make sure we hit, when it comes to Acorn, which you had mentioned, yes, of course, there is voter fraud that goes on across the country. It's incredibly limited. I think George W. Bush administration put unprecedented effort into rooting out voter fraud. They were able to come up with all of 18 convictions, I believe was the number, across the entire country for the 8 years that they were in office. It's incredibly rare. When it comes to Acorn, that group was entirely set up from top to bottom. There has never been, there is no evidence that any vote ever has ever been cast inaccurately. I'm sorry, has been cast illegally through an Acorn registration, through an improper Acorn registration. Not a single vote, despite what you'll hear on so much of the right-wing media, Fox News and Rush Limbaugh and all this stuff about Acorn stealing elections. Not a single illegal vote from any improper Acorn registration. And those improper Acorn registrations you've heard about, the reason you've heard about them is because it was Acorn themselves who turned in these bad apples, who were out there not trying to steal votes, but figuring that this is a way to keep my job, is I'll just go through the phone book and fill in the names for registrations rather than do the hard work of going to get registrations. And it was Acorn themselves who were being defrauded and who turned in that, handful of bad apples out of their, tens of thousands of registration workers they had across the country. So I want to stick up for them because they've been, incredibly attacked. They were shut down by a completely phony scam by this James O'Keefe character who put together these phony videos. And so I need to speak up for them because they were a great four-decade-old community organizing organization that fought for anti-poverty, were pro-democracy, and they were really done in by, frankly, a bunch of liars in the right-wing media, and not even all in the right-wing media. Many people in the non-right-wing media fell for the same scam. So I just wanted to stand up and correct the record there. I was able to get New York Times even to issue correction for some of their reporting because New York Times also had the story wrong about Acorn. So I think it's important to stand up for the truth no matter what side you happen to fall on in this political debate.
Well, I think that the important thing is there is truth out there. There are absolutes. There is right and wrong. And Will, I appreciate your bringing this out. Certainly I perhaps had the wrong impression about Acorn. I think that they are pushing a socialist philosophy, but they have the right to do that. The thing I object to, and they're doing it with my tax money. They want to raise the funds on their own, but when they use my tax money to push a political philosophy, that I think is as wrong as somebody using my tax money to push a conservative philosophy. Be that as it may.
Yeah.
Let's get back, of course, to what's going on. If you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And basically, we're talking about the fact that in many instances, the voting process is compromised. And certainly, how easy it is for one person to do that when you have an electronic voting machine. And of course, when all the votes are just funneled into one center area, all they have to do is rig the central computer, and voila, we've won the election, and all the efforts and time that's been put in has been lost. And a good friend of ours, D.V. Kidd, ran for Congress here in California, and we have a DVD of her story of how they rigged her election. But I said this sort of thing does go on in America, and what we have, the reason, of course, she didn't have an organization sufficiently well organized to insist on counting the votes. And you have to be set up ahead of time. You can't just say, when the election's all over, well, we ought to have a hand count of the votes. This ought to be done long before that. Would you agree on that?
No, absolutely. One of the most frustrating things is watching these candidates. They make it, you know, they work like hell all the way to election night, and then they're, you know, pretty much out of steam. And when it comes time to, you know, get in there and fight, you know, for the ballots to be counted and to be counted transparently, they're out of money, they're exhausted, their supporters have gone home. They think the election is over. You know, for me, the November 2nd election this year is still going on. You know, we're still working on what's going on up there in Alaska. You know, they don't end on election night as soon as the polls close. That's really when they begin, and that's really when, you know, we need citizens to show up at the county headquarters to oversee the elections. We need attorneys out there to, you know, help folks get to court when there's questions about the elections. When people want to know, when they simply want to know who won and how people voted. And, you know, up in Alaska, it took years to get access to the election databases from 2004, despite these anomalies where you had hundreds of thousands of votes that, you know, weren't there at all, that seemed to have disappeared. And they had to go to court. In this case, it was the Democratic Party went to court. And the state of Alaska said, no, you can't look at those electronic databases because they're the proprietary property of Diebold, the company at the time that ran that system. And they said, well, wait, that's crazy. You know, there's no secret information here. This is simply how people voted, you know, the computer record of how they voted. Well, the state went and talked to Diebold, and Diebold said, okay, you can release the databases. But we reserve the right, before we give them the databases, to, and this is a direct quote, we reserve the right to, quote, manipulate the data, unquote, before we turn it over. Well, the Democrats said, okay, we'll take whatever we can get at this point. And as they were about to get those databases, a decision came down from the governor, who at the time happened to be Lisa Murkowski's father, Governor Murkowski, who said, whose top security guy said, no, we can't turn over these databases to the Democratic Party because it will be a security risk. A security risk to see how it is that people voted in an election? Well, that's the claim that they made, and they had to litigate that for years before they were ever able to get at those databases. That's how difficult it is to get at these things. So, you know, I'm going to give credit at that point, the Alaska Democratic Party for getting in there and fighting like hell to see, you know, for transparency as much as they could to see these databases, much as I'll give credit right now to Joe Miller, who is still in the middle of this election contest, simply saying, can we hand count all of the paper ballots so that we can know who won and who lost? And I don't think that's a lot to ask, frankly, but apparently the election division up there in Alaska does, and so does, by the way, the Republican Party, who's telling Joe, don't do this, don't ask to count those ballots.
Well,
even
I think
Joe Miller was their candidate.
And I think basically we have a corrupt system up in Alaska, and I think they've had one for a long time. Unfortunately, it's a good old boys' club, and they it's all about power. There's a great deal of money because Alaska is a fabulously wealthy state with all sorts of natural gas and oil up there. And I think when you're in a position of power, you can always manipulate things one way or the other. And if nobody's watching, you can make a fabulous fortune.
And if you make it impossible to see, that's how you get away with it. And if you look at the crimes in this country over the past, take your pick, but let's say 8 or 10 years, in every case, it's because things were done in secret. We've got to stop the secret, Stan. We really do.
Well, you know, for instance, in the election in South Africa when Nelson Mandela won, why the United States government supervised that election. They actually printed 80 million ballots for 40 million voters, and then they simply announced as soon as the election was over that Nelson Mandela had won. Lots of boxes full of ballots were found, you know, dumped here, there, and elsewhere. But of course, they had 40 million valid votes for Nelson Mandela. We supervise that election, and we do this all over the world, and they're corrupt elections. I mean, we control Afghanistan. We have military occupation of Afghanistan, and, of course, our candidate always wins. Isn't that surprising?
Yeah, and we know that he committed fraud. We know that Karzai committed fraud. We've even pretty much acknowledged as much. And yet we're, you know, kind of looking the other way. And by the way, when the rest of the world wants to come here and look at our elections and observe our elections, we don't want to have that. We don't want to have any part of that, do we?
Well, I think what we have to do, and I think what you're doing so well, Brad, and as you certainly are, I think, an honest man, you're backing here a Republican up there in Alaska that not backing him for his ideology, but backing him because he wants to get a hand ballot. And what we've got to do is get everybody in this country to understand we are losing our freedom because the good people are not involved in the electoral process. And what you need to do in every community and hamlet across America is put together an organization. I don't care whether you call it a Tea Party or call it a voter registration committee or call it what you will, a voter counting. But of course, certainly you ought to be trying to develop candidates. But right now, one of the important things you ought to do is figure how you're going to get an honest election 2 years from now. Because it really doesn't matter, you know, how much education you have. It doesn't matter how good a candidate you have. It doesn't even matter how many people vote for your candidate. If the people who count the votes, of course, are dishonest, well, you're not going to be able to get an honest man elected. And I think we have this problem potentially all across the country, and we know very well that they rigged the elections both in 2000 and 2004, in my estimation, so that, of course, George Bush would become the president. And I think it's about time, even though Republicans like him and George Bush was such a great president, when they rig the elections, I think we have to realize that why the will of the people is not being carried out. And certainly people begin to lose confidence. And I think they need to lose confidence. And the only way to regain that confidence is for good people to become involved, because the price that good people pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is that they're ruled by evil people.
It's about, as I say, it's about transparency. And when you're reaching for a name there, the name that I would suggest is Election Integrity. And so, you know, we see election integrity groups, EI groups, as we call them, popping up all over the country, taking these matters on at a local level, you know, working bipartisan, tripartisan, you know, working together, the different political parties coming together. Another great state for this actually is Arizona, where you've got a group of Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and Greens who have all come together to fight for election integrity. And that's what it's really about, because otherwise, as you say, you know, the fight for ideas doesn't make a difference if at the end of the day we don't know if the ideas have really won out or if it has been, you know, malfunction or malfeasance on these electronic voting systems.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll have to get you onto our Saturday program. We have three stations there in Arizona.
Yeah.
Suddenly we get these ideas out. We've got the second largest city and several other communities. And basically, of course, when we have a opportunity to reach people, and that's why I do what I do, and I know that's why you do what you do. We have to get the people to think. And, of course, we focus on the candidates. We focus, you know, on all the hype that goes with the election. But in the final analysis, it doesn't matter who won the election. It's who counts the votes that's important. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this program. This is a very important subject. We've got to get Brad on more frequently. Well, Brad, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, you know what? I like your idea. I love the folks in Arizona. They really have given a...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
And Sydney, we have so much information on many subjects, but we're going to get some more good DVDs on the voting situation, so we'll be offering those later. Right now, of course, I would simply suggest you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at the videos, look at the DVDs, look at the tape sets and CD sets, the books we have, on all sorts of subjects that will help you to understand the fraudulent nature of what's going on. We do have a ruling elite. They control the voting process. They have an agenda, and that is to destroy this nation, to impoverish our people, and they're well along the way. What you need to do is get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, you want to be reading our newsletters on a regular basis. They're available at our website, RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, we do hope you want to subscribe to the newsletter or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And where you get the four best tapes or CDs of the month, and you get the monthly newsletter. But then you will keep abreast of what we are trying to accomplish as we try to get information out across America about what's really going on. And, of course, we're reaching people to the miracle of shortwave and through satellite and through the internet and then to radio stations, and we have about 60 outlets every week. It's an expensive proposition. If you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you, and if you're not, then we would ask you simply to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we've been able to keep going now. We've been at this for 16 years, started in the winter of December of 1993. And we started out with just one radio station and then two radio stations and then three radio stations. And here we are today where we are. But certainly it's an expensive proposition. If you can help, we'd love to hear from you. Sydney, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Once again, DB Kids DVD, Vote Fraud. You need, of course, to get the excellent DVD we have on The Watcher that gets into UFOs, cattle mutilation, alien implants, and you'll actually see the pictures of the alien implants and what they found when they had them analyzed, because, of course, this is otherworldly. And then, of course, we have the great DVD on The Secret of Oz, the history of the banking system. We have the DVD on my talk on the planned police state. And there really is a planned police state, a planned dictatorship, and you need to get the DVD, the syllabus that goes with that. We have the DVD put out by our good friend Catherine Albrecht, The Surveillance Society. You are being watched all the time, ladies and gentlemen. And these people don't believe in the Constitution. They don't believe in the Fourth Amendment. They are, of course, collecting dossiers on all of our citizens. And if you don't believe it, you certainly need to get some of the material Jesse Ventura is putting out. You can go up on the Internet and simply type in YouTube and then Jesse Ventura and police state or surveillance or JFK assassination. He's done some great work, and we certainly appreciate what he's done because we've got a lot of great YouTubes up on my website. If you'd like to know about what really happened on September 11th, why you'd want to get Richard Gage's DVD. It's called Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And basically, of course, what happened on September 11th was this was an inside job. This was basically those buildings were blocked down by explosives. If you look and see what happened to the tops of the buildings, as the building starts to fall, and we're here to pancake collapse, but the tops of the building disintegrate. Why would the tops of the building disintegrate before the building has really begun to fall? And basically because there are explosives there. Watch Building 7 come down, and you'll see it was a planned demolition. The center of the roof collapses first, and the base of the building goes. That's how you do a controlled demolition, ladies and gentlemen. You can see that at our website, radioliberty.com, in the sections Videos on the Web at the bottom of the page. And then I number 1-800-548-927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. And then, of course, this is the Christmas season. We talk a lot about all these bad things, but this is the time to be joyous, because if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll get through what lies ahead.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.